Hare Krishna. So this is the evening. This particular time is meant for Srila Prabhupada Katha in this place, at this place. So I have been requested to speak on Srila Prabhupada. I had the good fortune of coming to Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. That's the first time I came to Vrindavan. Although I was born and brought up in India, I did not have the good fortune of coming to Vrindavan earlier. What to speak of coming to Vrindavan? I did not even know the glory of Vrindavan. That's the unfortunate situation of India today, or India at that time. Like, Indians are completely oblivious of their spiritual heritage, their good fortune. And anyway, I had the good fortune of recognizing the glory of Krishna consciousness, Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the glory of the spiritual world, simply due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I think that's the case with most of us here, if not all of us. Srila Prabhupada created this good fortune for us. We all were literally in the world of darkness. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. That was our situation. Timirandhasya, in the deep darkness of ignorance, we were. And Srila Prabhupada came and he anointed our eyes with the spiritual knowledge. Jnananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Militam. We were blind towards, blind about our spiritual vision. And Srila Prabhupada opened our blinded eyes with the transcendental knowledge. I came to Krishna consciousness quite late. Srila Prabhupada left this planet in 1977, November. And I joined ISKCON in 1976. And I had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada in Kumbh Mela, especially when Prabhupada was going back from Kumbh Mela to Calcutta. And I had the good fortune of traveling with Srila Prabhupada in the same train. One first class compartment was, first class carriage actually, was hooked on to a Calcutta bound train, and Prabhupada was traveling with a handful of devotees in that train. And although I was a new devotee, new bhakta practically, I had the good fortune, I was included in that team. And thank you. And that's the first time actually I had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada and speaking to Srila Prabhupada. And during our first meeting, Srila Prabhupada gave me the service to translate his books into Bengali. And that gave me the good fortune of being close to Srila Prabhupada. And then eventually Srila Prabhupada made me his Secretary for Indian Affairs. And I had to reply all the letters that Srila Prabhupada received in Bengali and Hindi. And that enabled me to be with Srila Prabhupada practically all the time, travel with him. From Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada, after the Gaur Purnima festival, Srila Prabhupada went to Bombay. There was a big program arranged for Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, in the Cross Maidan. And while Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, his health was not very good. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada came back from America, Srila Prabhupada's health condition became quite bad. And although Srila Prabhupada's condition was quite frail at that time, but still Srila Prabhupada was preaching. From Mayapur he came to Bombay just to preach. And a big program, it was a huge program. Thousands of people used to come every day. Thousands means about 10,000 people used to come every day to attend the program. And Srila Prabhupada used to give his brilliant lectures. And when Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, two very important acquaintances of Srila Prabhupada, one of them was the ex-governor of Madras, Sriman Narayan, and his brother-in-law, the chairman of the Bajaj Industries, Ramkrishna Bajaj. They came to see Srila Prabhupada. And while they were talking to Srila Prabhupada, and they got to know that Srila Prabhupada's health condition was not so good, they suggested that Srila Prabhupada went to Rishikesh on the bank of the Ganges at the foothills of the Himalayas. It's a very beautiful place, very holy place also. And they requested Prabhupada to go there for a, they used the expression, for a change, they wanted Prabhupada to go there. And Prabhupada liked the idea. Prabhupada said that he never been to Rishikesh before. So he liked the idea. So Prabhupada, then a small team traveled with Srila Prabhupada. Kamalkrishna Maharaj, who was Prabhupada's secretary at the time, Upendra Prabhu and myself, three of us traveled from Bombay to Delhi, and from Delhi we went to Rishikesh. Prabhupada was happy to be there. Like, it was a beautiful house that they arranged. Those days that was the most beautiful house in Rishikesh, called Ganga Darshan, right on the bank of the Ganges. A beautiful two-story building. And and we were there with Srila Prabhupada. We were very happy to be in that kind of atmosphere where just few of us around Srila Prabhupada. And then one day there was a big storm in Rishikesh. And it was terrible actually. The whole night the wind was blowing so strongly, and the wind was so blowing so strongly that some trees fell and the electric supply got disrupted, because I think the electric poles broke. So the whole place became very dark, and the next day also it was raining the whole day. And Prabhupada was not feeling very well. And one thing was that Prabhupada was not able to translate. So that's why he was feeling more discontent about that situation. And it was at that time, that night, when I was attending Srila Prabhupada. At night, everybody, one of us used to be with Srila Prabhupada. Like, there was one of our god brothers, Pramana Swami. He was from South America, Venezuela. He was there with another sannyasi, Viraha Prakash Swami. Trivikram Maharaj also was there. So Pramana Maharaj used to be there from 10 to 12. Then I used to be there from 12 to 2. Then Upendra Prabhu used to be with Prabhupada from 2 to 4. And then Kamalkrishna Maharaj used to come at 4 o'clock. This way we used to, one of us always used to be with Srila Prabhupada. And my shift was from 12 to 2. So it was at that time Prabhupada called me and Prabhupada told me that the time has come for him to leave the planet, and he wanted to leave his body in Vrindavan. So we should make arrangements to take him to Vrindavan immediately. This statement of Srila Prabhupada was literally a bolt from the blue. And I just practically trembling, I climbed down the stairs, ran down the stairs, woke up Tamal Krishna Maharaj and told him what Prabhupada told me. Tamal Krishna Maharaj also jumped out of his bed and ran to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also told him the same thing. The time has come for me to leave the planet. Please take me to Vrindavan. I want to leave my body in Vrindavan. So that night only we packed everything. And in the morning we left. And we arrived in Delhi. That night we stayed in Delhi. And the next morning we left for Vrindavan. The devotees of Vrindavan got to know that Srila Prabhupada was coming. Naturally they were in ecstasy. Prabhupada is coming, Prabhupada is coming. I remember when we came near Chatikara Road, where the Agra Road turns to Vrindavan, we just spotted two devotees in motorbikes. As soon as they saw a car, as soon as they saw Prabhupada's car, they jumped onto the motorbike and drove. And they actually, that was Gunanava Prabhu, who was the vice president of Vrindavan Temple at that time. So he was there, and there was another devotee. So they just spotted Srila Prabhupada's car and they came in the motorbike and they reported to the devotees that Prabhupada was coming. So Prabhupada arrived in Vrindavan. There must have been about 250 devotees. They were so ecstatic. And so they greeted Srila Prabhupada at the gate. Those days the entrance was from the front, and the gate, front gate, the samadhi naturally was not there. And Prabhupada came to the temple and had the darshan of the deities. I can still visualize Srila Prabhupada standing in front of the deities with his hands folded, and one could see there's so much love with which Srila Prabhupada was looking at the deities. For a long time, Prabhupada stood in front of Gaur Nithai, Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Sundar. Sorry. Then Prabhupada went into his quarters. All these devotees followed him. There are lots of children. The Gurukul school was here. There are many, many children who actually also followed Srila Prabhupada with the kirtan. Then Prabhupada sat there. Actually, this room where Prabhupada's bed is, that was not Prabhupada's bedroom. That was Prabhupada's darshan room. Prabhupada's bedroom was on the side. And Prabhupada sat there and he started to speak, and he actually announced why he came. And literally I could see that, how ecstasy turned into agony. The devotees were so blissful, they just started to cry. Tears were streaming down their eyes when they got to know why Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan. Then Prabhupada quoted the verse, Dehi Nushmin Jatha Dehi, and elaborated on that. Prabhupada explained that Tatha Dehantara Prapti. In this material nature, our body is constantly changing. And eventually, we give up the old body to take up a new body. Dehantara Prapti. And Prabhupada explained, Dhiras Tatra Namuhyati. A person who is situated in spiritual knowledge, he doesn't lament over the changing of the bodies. Then after everyone left, Prabhupada called me. Those days I was cooking for Srila Prabhupada also. And Prabhupada called me and told me, from now on, don't cook for me anymore. He said, what's the use of eating when there is no appetite? It was like an ultimatum from Prabhupada. Don't cook for me. Don't force me to eat. What's the use of eating when there is no appetite? So, I just went to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and I told him what Prabhupada said. Tamal Krishna Maharaj also became very thoughtful for a while. And then he said, what can we do? When Prabhupada speaks like that, I feel so helpless. What can we do? And Prabhupada stopped eating. He was not even taking water. From time to time, I used to make some fruit juice with the hope that maybe someday, sometime, Prabhupada would like to have some juice. And every few hours, I used to change a glass of juice, bring fresh one, with the hope that Prabhupada would want to eat and drink something at some point. Then the devotees came from all over the world. Actually, when Prabhupada was in Delhi, Tamal Krishna Maharaj phoned Adi Keshav Maharaj, who was the GBC of New York at that time, and he told him what Prabhupada said and why Prabhupada was going to Vrindavan. And he asked him to inform all the devotees, all the senior devotees around the world. And within a very short time, many, many devotees assembled. And they had a meeting and they decided that Prabhupada is a pure devotee. And if Prabhupada desires something, then Krishna will fulfill that desire. And if Prabhupada wanted to stay, then Krishna will allow Prabhupada to stay. And they came to Srila Prabhupada's room and they requested Srila Prabhupada to stay. And Prabhupada agreed. And the devotees again became so happy, so ecstatic. And then Prabhupada allowed me to cook. I cooked for Srila Prabhupada and started to serve. And Prabhupada also, although he was not able to eat, but still he used to come. Prabhupada used to take his prasad next to his darshan room As you enter on the left hand side, there is a small room. And so Prabhupada used to sit there and honor prasad. So one day after he took prasad, Prabhupada asked me whether I knew where Gopinath Bazar was. So I told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, this is my first visit to Vrindavan. I don't know anything. I didn't even step out of our boundaries. But I can find out." But Prabhupada said, "No, you get some local devotee who knows." I said, "Prabhupada, Vrindavan is a small place. I can find out where Gopinath Bazar is. It won't be difficult." So then Prabhupada said, "You go to Gopinath Bazar, and there is one Ayurvedic doctor called Banamali Kaviraj. So you tell him about me, he will recognize me." And actually those days everybody knew Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada was so humble, he actually told me to tell him that he used to live in Radha Damodar temple and sometimes he used to treat him. So I went, I found Banamali Kaviraj. He was a very old man at that time. At that time Prabhupada was 82 years old, but Banamali Kaviraj was 92 years old. And so I told him that Prabhupada was quite unwell and he wanted him to treat him. So Banamali Kaviraj said that, "Well, I can't go anywhere. He'll have to come here." And I begged him and told him that I will take you in a rickshaw. So he said, "Rickshaw, with every bump my bones will crack." But still finally, due to my request, he agreed and he came to see Srila Prabhupada. And after he checked Srila Prabhupada, he told me that the medicine that I would give, it has to be freshly made. And he was quite concerned, like, how can he make the medicine and give it to Srila Prabhupada? So I told him, "We'll make arrangements for you in our guest house." He said, no, I have to go home." And then I told him, "You can show me, I can make the medicine." And he accepted that idea. Then he took me to the field. Those days, outside of our temple practically, especially at the back, it was all empty land. And so he took me to that field and he showed me two herbs. And one was called Pathar Kuchi and the other is called Punar Nava. He showed me. And they grow wild actually. And he gave me some two different salts. One was pink and one was white. And he showed me how to make the medicine. Those leaves of those plants were crushed and egg juice was extracted and we mixed the salt in that, and I had to give it to Srila Prabhupada three times a day. So he started to treat Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's condition started to improve. Now when Prabhupada's condition improved, Prabhupada wanted to go out and preach. When I told Banamali Kaviraj that Prabhupada wanted to leave, he was very, very unhappy about it. He said, "No, don't let him go now." He said, "This medicine is working, and in winter, I will give him Makara Dhaj, and that will build him up." And so I told Tomal Krishna Maharaj that. Tomal Krishna Maharaj told me that what to do. Prabhupada wants to go, and you know how Prabhupada is. When he wants, we want to do something, you know, no one can stop him. That's what he wanted. And also I could hear Prabhupada sometimes would say things like, a warrior doesn't die in bed. A warrior, it's a disgrace for a warrior to die in bed. A warrior, for a warrior it's honorable to die in the battlefield. And so Prabhupada decided to leave. Later on, often I used to lament, why didn't I insist a little more? There were so many senior devotees, and if they all appealed to Srila Prabhupada to stay on. But anyway, those days we simply depended upon Srila Prabhupada's will. We never wanted to assert our will on Srila Prabhupada. We simply, because we knew that Prabhupada is a pure devotee and whatever he wants, it's Krishna's plan. And then Prabhupada was prepared to leave. All the arrangement was made. Prabhupada was going to go to London. From London he was going to fly to New York. From New York he was going to go to Gita Nagari. From Gita Nagari he was going to go to Los Angeles. And from Los Angeles he was going to go to Hawaii. And Prabhupada wanted to stay in Hawaii and translate. So the night Prabhupada was ready to leave, the flight was early in the morning from Delhi, and Prabhupada was all dressed up, ready to leave, and I was sitting at Srila Prabhupada's feet. And Prabhupada asked me, aren't you coming? So I said, no Prabhupada, I didn't have my passport with me. Then Prabhupada said, okay, then you join me in Hawaii. And so Prabhupada left, and he arrived in Delhi airport. Many devotees came from Mayapur also to see Srila Prabhupada. And I remember we were sitting in the airport surrounding Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was, although he was health was frail, and he was still speaking, instructing how to sincerely practice and how to diligently try to move this movement forward. And then Prabhupada left. From Mayapur, Bhavananda Prabhu, those days he was a sannyasi, he was the co-director of Mayapur. So, and I actually joined in Mayapur, so he told me, so now you come to Mayapur, come back to Mayapur. And so then we stayed he stayed in Vrindavan we drove from Delhi to Vrindavan. He stayed for 2 days and then we went back to Mayapur. So I was back in Mayapur, and one afternoon I was giving a class to the new devotees, new bhaktas, on the nectar of devotion. And I got a telegram. The telegram came from Vrindavan. Prabhupada wants you to come back. Come to Vrindavan immediately. Prabhupada went to London and his health condition deteriorated. And he also had a minor surgery. And then he came back to India from London. He first came to Bombay, and then from Bombay he just came to Vrindavan. So I got this telegram from I think Tamalkrishna Maharaj sent the telegram, and I told Bhavananda Maharaj that Prabhupada is calling me. So the next morning I took a flight to Delhi. Giriraj Maharaj and Brahmananda Swami also were in Delhi at that time, so they were coming to Vrindavan. So we just traveled together from Delhi to Vrindavan. I came here, and it was in the evening. Tamalkrishna Maharaj was very happy to see me. And he told me that Prabhupada caught some cough and cold, and he took some medicine, some expectorant, which causes you to sleep. So Prabhupada was resting. So when I heard that, I decided not to go to Prabhupada's room. So I was sitting there with Tamalkrishna Maharaj. Then Upendra Prabhu came out and he saw me, and he said, "Come to Prabhupada." I said, "Prabhupada is sleeping, no?" Then he said, "Still, you just come in, man." So I went to Prabhupada's room. Upendra Prabhu and I were sitting on the floor, and Prabhupada was lying on his bed. From there I could see that Prabhupada became so thin that his body was practically on the same level with the bed, and his head was just propping up. And so at one time Prabhupada started to cough and he woke up. So Upendra went to attend him, and then he told that I was there. And then Prabhupada said, "Okay, ask him to come." "Where is he?" "Ask him to come." So I went to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wanted to sit up. So I helped Prabhupada to sit up, and with the pillows I propped him up so that he could lean onto the pillows. While I was doing that, I could see that Prabhupada became so thin. Already Prabhupada was very frail, very thin, and now he has become so thin. So I told him, "Prabhupada, you became so thin." Prabhupada said, "Yes. Now this body is just a set of bones in a bag of skin." And Srila Prabhupada kept on asking about Mayapur, how everything was. Those days there was some problem in Mayapur. There was some conflict with the local Muslims, and local Gauriya Math also sided with the Muslim against ISKCON, and it was a lot of unpleasantness there. So Prabhupada was asking how everything was, and I started to relate to him in details what was happening. By that time the situation became quite controlled in Mayapur. Actually the situation was so bad, quite a few devotees were arrested, including Bhavananda Maharaj, and it was just some conspiracy of some local envious individuals. And we could see that although Prabhupada's health condition was so delicate, but still Prabhupada was so concerned about the happenings in our movement, the affairs of our movement. And then again I started to serve Srila Prabhupada. The next day I went to Banumalika. Prabhupada asked me to meet Banumalika Viraj. So Banumalika Viraj actually came and started to treat Srila Prabhupada. And so I went and met him. Banumalika Viraj came, kept on coming and gave the medicine. But finally he told me that, look, my medicine is not working. So what's the point in treating now? So Banumalika Viraj actually stopped his treatment and in this way Srila Prabhupada was just there. He practically stopped eating, and yet Prabhupada was so concerned, like he would, like one day Srila Prabhupada asked me to see how the devotee's prasad was. Although Prabhupada himself did not eat for days together, but Prabhupada was concerned about how the devotees were eating. And so I went to the devotee kitchen, took the prasad, and I came to Srila Prabhupada and I told him, Srila Prabhupada, the prasad was not so good. Later on I used to think maybe I shouldn't have said that. But then again, Prabhupada wanted me to find out, so I went and told Prabhupada that the prasad was not so good. And Prabhupada called the temple president and he kind of chastised him why the prasad is not good. And he insisted that the prasad for the devotee should be good. And then after the temple president left, Prabhupada told me, make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. And then he said, that is the only sense gratification they have. And so I could see how concerned Srila Prabhupada was about the devotees' well-being. Devotees, he was so concerned about the devotees. Although he couldn't eat for days together, but he was so concerned about the devotees' prasad. Then one day Prabhupada's sister Pishima came. In Bengali, Pishima means aunt. The father's sister is called Pishima and mother's sister is called Mashima. So Prabhupada, we used to address Srila Prabhupada's sister as Pishima. She was a wonderful, wonderful devotee. Very, very caring. She also looked very much like Srila Prabhupada. Just a female replication of Srila Prabhupada. So Pishima came. So I was told that Pishima came. So I went and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Pishima came. And Prabhupada said, ask her to come. So Prabhupada was lying on his bed. And Pishima was just standing maybe 2 feet away and I was standing in the middle. Prabhupada wouldn't speak directly to her. Prabhupada was telling me, ask her what she would like to do. Then Pishima said, tell him that I would like to cook for him. So I
the few sentences, I relayed back and forth, and then they started to speak together directly. Then Prabhupada asked, cook whatever you want to cook. Then she said, what do you want to eat? Prabhupada said, cook whatever you want to cook. And then finally Prabhupada said, you can cook some khichdi. So just as she got the order to cook khichdi, she walked like a general onto Prabhupada's kitchen and I followed her. So she was cooking, she was supposed to cook khichdi, but she cooked a huge feast. And she, at that time, Kirtananda Swami was attending Srila Prabhupada also. So he didn't want Prabhupada to eat Bhishma's cooking because he felt that this cooking will be so rich. So he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you shouldn't eat. He said, look, she wants to cook for me, so let her. But after some time, Kirtananda Swami again and came and told Prabhupada not to eat that cooking. And Prabhupada said, look, I am already a dead man. So whether I die eating or fasting, what difference does it make? So it was going on between Kirtananda Swami and Prabhupada. Like Prabhupada was, Kirtananda Swami was telling Prabhupada not to eat. And Prabhupada was insisting that, no, I would. At least in order to make her happy. Then finally prasadam was ready. I came and told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, the prasad is ready. So Prabhupada said, bring it. So Kirtananda Swami was there and he told, kind of in a cajoling way, coaxing Srila Prabhupada, saying, Prabhupada, you are not going to eat that. This time Prabhupada became very annoyed. Prabhupada said, don't you ever think that you know better than your spiritual master. So I got the message, I went, brought the plate, and Prabhupada ate, not a huge amount, but Prabhupada took something, although he didn't eat for a long, long time. Only he used to take some fruit juice, nothing solid he took for days, and sometimes he would take some milk, that also diluted with water. But Prabhupada ate. And there was some anxiety, some concern. Maybe Prabhupada will not be able to digest, Prabhupada will become sick. And but nothing happened. So with a great relief, I told Pishima that there was a big concern that Prabhupada may not be able to digest. And then Pishima said, if Prabhupada wants, he can even digest rocks. And that was the case actually. Like Prabhupada, when Prabhupada wanted to eat something, he ate and nothing happened. Should I stop now? Is Maharaj here? Is Govinda Maharaj around? Because he is supposed to speak now.
Govinda Maharaj, where are you? Does anybody see him out there?
No, he's not there. Okay. Okay, so I'll just
take a few more minutes and one or two episodes I'll speak on. So, speaking about Srila Prabhupada's digesting ability, like one day Prabhupada was sitting at the back of his roof. How many of you have seen Prabhupada's room, Prabhupada's quarters, upstairs of Prabhupada's quarters? Okay. Upstairs there's a room and there is kind of a small area, covered area in the front, and at the back there's an open roof. So Prabhupada was sitting there on a dari. It's a kind of bed made of coir ropes. And Prabhupada was sitting there, I was sitting at the feet of Srila Prabhupada one afternoon. So Prabhupada told me, find out. You see, the deity kitchen was just next to Prabhupada's roof. And so Prabhupada just told me, find out what they're cooking there. So I ran into, and you know, like when Prabhupada wanted to find out, like that gave us so much hope. Like I just ran to the deity kitchen. And we had a wonderful god brother of ours who used to cook for Shri Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram and Gaur Nithai those days. For years together he used to cook for the deities. His name was Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, the elderly Bengali devotee. So I went and I found that Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was cooking kachuri and samosa. So I ran back to Srila Prabhupada and I told that Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu is cooking kachuris and samosas. Prabhupada said, get some for me. And it was, I mean, Prabhupada wanted something when he was barely eating anything. I was running, and at that time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj were just coming. They just met me right there. And he said, what happened? And I said, Prabhupada wanted some kachuri and samosa. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, you can't give kachuri and samosa to Prabhupada. And I just screamed that Prabhupada wanted. So saying that, I just ran down and went to Prabhupada's kitchen, got Prabhupada's silver thali, went to the deity kitchen, and I told Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, and I got two kachuris and two samosas straight from the frying pan and piping hot. And I took them and I ran back to Srila Prabhupada. So since it was very hot, Prabhupada just smashed them, the samosas and kachuris. And then he took a small piece and he started to eat. Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj were looking at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, don't see. And their heads dropped. And Prabhupada took the kachori and samosa. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was very worried. Actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was so concerned about Srila Prabhupada's health, Prabhupada's health condition, Prabhupada's welfare. And he was so concerned, he was telling me that maybe Prabhupada won't be able to sleep tonight and Prabhupada will feel uneasy. And he was very concerned. But that night I could see that Prabhupada slept so well. And then the next morning, Prabhupada was just normal, nothing happened. Like he digested this kachori and samosa fried in ghee. And so that's how Prabhupada was spending his time in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was translating practically every night.
although his health condition was so frail, but often he would stay at the back of his room in the upstairs, and because in summertime it gets very, Prabhupada used to prefer to sleep on the roof out in the open, and there were lots of mosquitoes, and so Prabhupada used to sit inside the mosquito net on his bed and he used to translate. And like, and later on when Prabhupada became so weak that he couldn't even turn to his side, we had to very carefully help him to turn to his side, but still Prabhupada was using his last drop of his energy to translate. He used to Pradyumna Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's secretary, used to read the Sanskrit verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. This was the 10th canto, 13th and 14th chapter, Brahma Mohan Leela. And Prabhupada, and one of us used to hold the microphone in front of Prabhupada's mouth. You must have seen the DVD. Jayadita Maharaj is holding the microphone. Prabhupada couldn't even hold the microphone. What to speak of holding the microphone? Prabhupada couldn't even lift his hand. Prabhupada couldn't even turn to his side. But still Prabhupada was translating. Pradyumna Prabhu would recite the verse and Prabhupada would give the translation and Prabhupada would give his Bhaktivedanta purport. This is a pure devotee. His entire life is completely dedicated in serving Krishna and spreading his glory. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON founder Acharya, his divine grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Hari.
If Govinda Maharaj is not here, oh, he's here, finally. Oh, it's so nice of you to show up.
after and chat for a couple minutes?
Yeah. Whatever puts you
in the mood. Okay. Well, if I'd done that, I would have brought the whole orchestra over.
Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschachari Vitaharine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschachari Vitarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Haribo, 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 Gaur Haribo. Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Paribhraja Kacharya Stotara Sri Maharaj's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavanda Ki, Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki, Kamsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Puntanda Sri Dvaiti Gadadhar Sri Vasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopagopinashama Kunradakun Giri Govardhan Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki, Shri Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki, Ganga Mai Ki, Jun Mai Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulsi Maharani Ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki, Shri Nitai Pau, Kimanandi, all glory to the Assembled Devotees, all glory to the Assembled Devotees, all glory to the Assembled Devotees, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I'd like to thank Parvati Mataji for inviting me to speak this afternoon. And I would like to take the blessings of all my God brothers and God sisters and all the assembled Vaishnavas that I may say a few words of remembrance of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Many times we come to functions like this and we wish to hear the glorification of Srila Prabhupada. And people speak, and it basically becomes, you know, very nice, interesting anecdotes about individuals as they related to Srila Prabhupada under the particular circumstances. This evening I'll try as much as possible to keep myself out of it. And that won't be difficult to do because at that time and now, I was just a rank and file foot soldier in Srila Prabhupada's army. I wasn't one of the commanders. I wasn't one of the leaders. In about July of 1977, I came to Vrindavan to live. I'd never had the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada directly. I joined in a temple in North America called Buffalo, New York. And after serving there for about a year and a half, I migrated up to Toronto, Canada. And I served in Canada for 5 years before coming to India. I was a cook, and oftentimes I say that my caste is that I'm a cook. Earlier when I lived here in Vrindavan, and we would cook like big feasts like Srila Prabhupada's Disappearance Day and other huge functions, and I would have to engage the local halawais or the local professional cooks in assisting during the preparation, they would always refer to me as Govinda Halawai. So that's my caste. I was a cook. In my old age, I'm a bit lazy now and I don't cook as much as I used to, although I should. So I came here as the cook in 77. Srila Prabhupada had gone to Rishikesh in May due to his ill health. And somewhere around the middle of May, he told his attendants who were with him in Rishikesh, now it is time to go to Vrindavan and die. Although I'm not exactly sure, I can't remember exactly the details. Probably His Holiness Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was Prabhupada's secretary. And they made arrangements to bring Prabhupada to Vrindavan. And when he reached Vrindavan, the Vrindavan devotees, they were very, very enthusiastic in their reception of Srila Prabhupada, but they didn't know actually what Prabhupada's intent was. He was feeling very bad due to the advance of his disease. He would have his crisis days. His health was going down more and more. I think it would be safe to say that in the last year of Srila Prabhupada's life, practically he didn't eat. He would drink some. I remember at one point when he was in Vrindavan, he was drinking something called Komplan. Sometimes he would drink milk. Sometimes he would have some juice. Very infrequently, Prabhupada would have solid food. And the result of that is that everything on Srila Prabhupada's body was wasting away. He was practically just bone with some skin hanging from the bone. And there was no muscle and there was no flesh. But despite being in that very devastated material situation, Srila Prabhupada's consciousness was always perfect. He was always absolutely clear. He was always absolutely fixed on his goal of spreading the movement of Krishna consciousness, translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, and inspiring devotees throughout the world to carry on with his great mission of delivering the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Srila Prabhupada had received it from his spiritual master. So Prabhupada came in May, and it was a great shock in the Vrindavan community. And I believe at one point, GBC men from around the world, they came over here and they were gathered with Prabhupada. But by the time I had come in July, Srila Prabhupada was having his up days. And many of the GBCs had been dispatched back to the West so that they could go back and inspire the devotees and carry on with the preaching work. One point, and at that time, Srila Prabhupada still had enough strength to sit up. I remember many times coming by Srila Prabhupada's garden and looking into Srila Prabhupada's room, and It wasn't just the one bed, which is like it is now, but it was a few of these beds that had big bolsters. And I could look in and I could see Srila Prabhupada sitting there. And he would be sitting and relating to the different devotees. At one point, an idea came to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada felt that if he really wished to become strong, and if he really wished to become healthy, then he would make one last tour of the Western countries. And he would go and he would preach and he would live in the association of all of his devotees in the West. I think he wanted to go to some of our farm communities. He said, I will go and I will drink the milk from our cows. I will preach. I will hear the reports of Sankirtan. And this will give me strength to live. So, when Prabhupada decided in this way, all of the different arrangements started being made for Srila Prabhupada actually to travel to the West again. And And Srila Prabhupada did leave Vrindavan. I'm bad with dates. Somebody can correct me. But it was approximately August 28th of 1977 that Srila Prabhupada, he left Vrindavan to go on his Western preaching tour. It was a significant day. It was Sri Rupa Goswami's appearance day or disappearance day. I was the cook. I would go to Mangal Arati, and then I would go into the kitchen, cook the breakfast, cook the lunch, and at that time, everything in the kitchen that we cooked, we offered that to Krishna and Balaram on the altar. Come back, cook the chapatis, serve the prasad, clean the kitchen, and then in the evening, this kirtan party was going out. Now, the kirtan party was going to Radha Damodar temple for a program. And I remember it was particularly significant because my senior godbrother,
who's the sannyasi from Australia, Madhu?
My senior godbrother, Madhu Vishwaprabhu, was there. Madhu Vishwaprabhu was one of Srila Prabhupada's earliest own disciples from the West Coast in America. And anyone who has met Madhu Vishwaprabhu, you have the experience of what an attractive person he is and what a charming person he is and a very charismatic person. And I'd met him in Toronto when he came preaching one time, and I remember him dancing and dancing and dancing in the temple room as he was leading kirtan. But at one point, Madhu Vishwaprabhu, he became entangled in the web of the material energy, and he left his sannyas ashram. And he was feeling very bad about that. And at that time, he'd been away. The Srila Satsrup Goswami Maharaj brought Madhu Vishwaprabhu to Vrindavan. And he had his reunion with Srila Prabhupada. So that evening when the kirtan was going down to Radha Damodar temple, they asked me to sing the kirtan. But I said, oh no. I turned to Madhu Vishwaprabhu and I said, Prabhu, you please sing. So through the streets, down by Bunky Bihari, going down to Radha Damodar, Madhu Vishwaprabhu was leading such a beautiful kirtan and we were all chanting and dancing. Then we came to Radha Damodar temple and there was a function just in the courtyard of the temple. Basically, it was a kirtan function. And I can recall there was a big asana established there. And there were so many old saints of Braja who were sitting there. And kirtan was going, and a lot of the old saints were sitting there, and they were just chanting on their beads. We came in, we sat down, we began participating. I saw this big asana, and I was thinking, who is going to sit on that seat? I was thinking, what acharya will come in and sit on that seat? And what happened is there was an individual who was apparently an eminent Babaji of Vrindavan at that time. His name was Kishori Lal Baba. He came in and everybody was waiting for him. But when he came in, he didn't sit on the seat. But what he did is he just began offering his humble obeisances to each and every of the Vaishnavas who were there, including the devotees from ISKCON. And then what he did is he took the Bhagavatam and he placed the Bhagavatam on the big seat. And then the function continued. So then I took Madhuvisa Prabhu aside and I said, "Prabhu, do you mind me asking you a question?" And he said, "No, not at all." And I said, "You went away, but now you've come back and you met Srila Prabhupada. What did Srila Prabhupada say when he met you?" And he looked at me and he said, "Srila Prabhupada told me that it doesn't matter what condition in life you're in, but you should be in a situation where you're strong and your senses are strongly engaged in Krishna consciousness and your mind is strongly engaged in Krishna's devotional service." He said, "So welcome back and please stay with me forever." And that was the message that Prabhupada gave. So then we were going back to the temple. At that time in Vrindavan, the only place where one could buy flower garlands was at Bunky Bihari Bazaar, outside of the Bunky Bihari Temple. Out here, ISKCON was sort of, you know, just far away from the city. And people were sort of scared to come out here in the evening time. And there was none of this complex around, and there was no construction anywhere. Basically, from ISKCON, if you looked out, you would just see Lala Babu's Mandir on the way to Mathura. It was just empty fields over there. So I stopped and I bought many flower garlands. I think I took 50 rupees with me, and back then 50 rupees was a lot of money. And I bought big stacks of flower garlands, and we came back and we sat outside of Srila Prabhupada's room waiting for that fateful moment when His Divine Grace would be leaving Vrindavan for His last tour. And Srila Prabhupada came out about, gosh, maybe about 12:30 in the evening to go for preaching. They carried Srila Prabhupada out of his room on his rocking chair. I don't think they had a palanquin yet, but they carried him on his rocking chair. I remember all the devotees that I passed out these garlands to. We went up and we started putting garlands on Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada had on, it was in the evening, so Prabhupada's eyes were becoming so affected by light that in the evening Srila Prabhupada had sunglasses on. I think Guru Kripa Prabhu had given those sunglasses to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came out and he was just looking like a regal king who was again going out to conquer the world. And we all put garlands on Prabhupada and we all bowed down to Srila Prabhupada. And the rocking chair, they carried Prabhupada up to the front of the temple and kirtan was going. And Srila Prabhupada got inside of, I think it was a Mercedes Benz, to go on his last preaching tour. He was determined to go and preach. Srila Prabhupada was so weak he couldn't sit in the back of that car. They had a bed made and Srila Prabhupada had to lay down on the bed because he was so weak. But this was the determined spirit that he had to serve the order of his spiritual master and to serve the Vaishnavas of ISKCON. He got in his car. And there was really nothing outside there. just a dirt road that had lots of holes in it, filled with rainwater. And Srila Prabhupada just rode into the night, and we all fell down on the ground, and we were all crying because we were thinking, we'll never see him alive again. Srila Prabhupada made it as far as London. When he got to London, his health really started spiraling down. And I'm not sure how long he stayed in London, but the decision was made that he would again return to India. And when he returned to India, he flew to Bombay. At that time, Srila Prabhupada's quarters, his new quarters, which we see now when we go to Bombay Juhu, those quarters are not finished. But Srila Prabhupada is very adamant, I want to stay in my quarters. I think that maybe it was just concrete floor. Perhaps stone was not even put down yet, or perhaps windows were not even put in yet. He was there on a bed with mosquito nets.
The windows were in and the stone was down there, but his room wasn't finished.
Okay.
We spent the whole night putting covers on the cushions and everything.
Okay.
Waiting for him to come.
So Prabhupada came to Bombay.
He stayed in the servants' quarters, so that room was finished.
Okay. That was in April. He came back in when? Pardon me? In September. Okay. All right. So Srila Prabhupada stayed there. And his health situation was not good. And we devotees in Vrindavan, we were always wondering, what is the situation of Srila Prabhupada? What is the situation? And we heard that, you know, everybody was sort of, people had their interests. Like Srila Jayaprataka Swami Maharaj and Bhavananda Prabhu, they were saying, come to Mayapur. And others were saying, stay in Bombay. Stay here and, you know, inspire us. We will get the temple finished. We'll get the temple open before you'll go. One of my nice god brothers named Kuladri Prabhu from America, he was there. And he told me how basically every day the big devotees, they would come and they would be with Prabhupada and they would be discussing the different variants. And some would be saying, go to Mayapur. Some would be saying, stay in Mumbai. And Kuladri Prabhu, he told me that one day he became very bold and he said something. And he said, and Prabhupada, when these discussions would be going on, Prabhupada would be simply laying there silent and listening to the discussions. And one day Kuladri Prabhu said, he took courage and he spoke. And he said, if Srila Prabhupada has come back to India to give up his body, then the best place for Srila Prabhupada to be would be to go to Vrindavan. And he said that when he said that, Prabhupada said, yes, this is a first class idea. So at that time, the arrangements were made to transport Prabhupada from Mumbai to Vrindavan. Hari Shri Prabhu, what day did they arrive in Vrindavan? Why don't you come up here, Hari Shri Prabhu? Somebody arrange a microphone. Somebody help Hari Shri Prabhu get his chair over here and get him a microphone, because he knows all. He was servant to Srila Prabhupada. Bring his chair, please. Some Ramachari, bring his chair over here. Put chair up here. No, it's not my show, it's Prabhupada's show. I never did service for Prabhupada.
I'm sorry for
you. Served Prabhupada for years.
Hare Krishna. On the evening of the evening of September the 30th, Prabhupada called all the senior men into his room. This was in Bombay. I had just arrived the same morning. By that time I'd been made GBC in Australia. And Prabhupada had a standing request for all of his GBCs right from 1970 that each one of them come and spend 1 month a year with him as a secretary, traveling secretary. That was apart from his permanent secretary. So I'd just become a GBC earlier in the year after I left Prabhupada's service, personal service. And so I had booked in with Tamal Krishna Maharaj to be the visiting GBC secretary for October of 77. So I arrived on the last day of September in the morning. The same evening, that was when Prabhupada called everybody in his room and asked us, should I stay here in Bombay or should I go to Vrindavan? So when it was my turn to give a vote, I was not sure exactly what the criteria was for making the decision. So I asked Prabhupada, is it for health or is it for preaching? So Prabhupada said it is for health. So then I was very clear that Vrindavan was the obvious choice. What was going on was that the Bombay temple was under construction. It had been scheduled to open towards the end of 1977. And so there was a hope that Prabhupada would be there for the opening of the Bombay temple. However, it was going slowly, and Prabhupada was sitting in his room all day, or lying in his room all day, and all the only noise was just the chip, chip, chip of the marble wallers and the construction crew. So it was becoming clear that the Bombay temple would not open on schedule, maybe a few months later. So then that question came up, should Prabhupada stay for a few months in Bombay and wait for the opening, or should he go back to Vrindavan? So when Prabhupada said it is for health, it was very clear that that meant Vrindavan. So we all voted. I think everybody except Gopal Krishna Maharaj voted for Vrindavan, because Gopal Krishna Maharaj was concerned that if Prabhupada left Bombay, then he knew that there would be an exodus of devotees that would go to Vrindavan with him. So he was worried that the construction then would slow down even more. But it was unavoidable, that's what happened. So the next day I was dispatched by Tamal Krishna Maharaj to come to Delhi and then to Vrindavan and prepare Prabhupada's rooms for his arrival. And it's been mentioned that in those days Prabhupada's bedroom was the room at the back, which also has a bathroom in it. That was going to be too small, and so we decided to convert his sitting room, the darshan room, into, you know, what would become his living room. So when I got to Delhi, then Bhagavatashraya Prabhu, he was the temple president at that time. I explained to him, Prabhupada will come as soon as we've prepared everything in Vrindavan, so we need a bed. So he had one friend of the temple. He had a wood shop. They used to make kind of modern furniture. We went straight around to see him, and we asked him, what beds do you have? Because I discussed with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, we needed at least a double-sized bed so that the servants would have room to move around Srila Prabhupada whilst he was lying down. And he had one bed that he just finished. It was a double bed, and that's the one that's sitting there, which Prabhupada performed his final pastimes on. So we immediately dispatched that with a cotton mattress that we had made double thickness so that it would be more comfortable. And then I rang Tamal Krishna Maharaj that now we're ready, Prabhupada can come. So they had booked tickets already on the train that, for that evening, October 1st. And then Prabhupada arrived in Mathura railway station on October the 2nd.
The reason that they booked the train for Srila Prabhupada is because basically at that time the road from Delhi to Vrindavan was primarily a dirt road, and there were so many big holes, and it would take so long for Prabhupada to get to Vrindavan, and it would be such an uncomfortable journey for him, that they simply took the train and they came to Mathura, and then they came to Vrindavan. And at that time I was a family man, and my wife, she was suffering from malaria. She had a room just above the entrance to the back gate entrance of the guest house. I finished the morning cooking and I went to check up on her to see how she was doing. And just the moment I came into the room, Srila Prabhupada's car arrived at the back gate. And to the best of my recollection, Brahmananda picked up Prabhupada in his arms, and he took Prabhupada from the car and he carried Prabhupada into his house. And when I looked down and I saw Srila Prabhupada, I noticed the remarkable difference in Prabhupada's health condition from when he'd left and now when he'd come back. When he'd left, Prabhupada was still, he had that, a bit of that beautiful golden shiny effulgence, but his health condition had deteriorated so much that his complexion was considerably darker, and Prabhupada was really much more gaunt. I took Srila Prabhupada to his room and laid Srila Prabhupada on his bed that Harishori Prabhu had arranged. And when he laid on his bed, Prabhupada folded his hands and he chanted the prayers of King Kulashekar. He said, Krishna Twadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam. He said, now Krishna, let me die while I am in sick condition. And after that, he thanked all the devotees for bringing him back to Vrindavan. And it seems to me that he gave a lot of special thanks to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj for having brought him back. He said, only Tamal could have done this to get me back here alive. So basically, as Harishori Prabhu explained, that was 1st or 2nd October. 2nd of October. And at that time, something very, very amazing began in Vrindavan. And it was like, for those people from the West, all over the world, you go to the amusement park, and in the amusement park they always have one ride, When we were children, we called them roller coasters, but I don't know what they call them now, but it's the ride that just, it will take you very, very high to a peak, and then it will drop very fast, and it will go down, and then it will come back to a very high peak, and it will drop, and it will go down again. And that was the emotional mood while Srila Prabhupada was spending his final days here in Vrindavan. It was one day soaring very, very high with the hope, yes, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, our father, the person who means more to us than our very life, Srila Prabhupada will remain with us. And then in the next second, shoo, it was just as if Prabhupada were going to leave at any time. And there were many instances like that. And I could just try to recall a few of those instances. And since Hari Shori Prabhu is here, and since he was serving intimately, then Hari Shori Prabhu could help